Talk Show.
Recorded live.
This show contains mature truth content. Listener discretion is advised. Attention, corrupt politician and corporate heads. Or any dumbass that has needs to be taken down. Congratulations. You have just pissed off the loudest stick of Brooklyn. Louis B. is an American and loves liberty, especially his freedom of speech. Declaring war on all bullshit launching. Infocatusha rockets into the enemy's camp. Broadcasting live from the forest of hate. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. And now here's your host, Louis B.
Hey, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick society and freaking stupid-ass politics right in the fucking balls. I'm your host, Louis B. Today, I am joined with my co-host, Enemy Combatants. Today, we're going to be talking about the Roman Catholic Church and its links to the New World Order. The Roman Catholic Church is the world's largest church, representing over half of all Christians and one-sixth of the world's population. Their hold, the hold of their power on earth in their own city-state, Vatican City. With their hands in almost all of Earth's geopolitical events, does the church also have plans to create a one-world government or a new world order? What links does the church have to Bilderberg, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and the United Nations? But today, before we get to those topics, we're going to be getting to Enemy Combatants' top news stories. This week's top headlines, as reported by Enemy Combatants. And now, here's Enemy Combatant.
I like how you have that little clip for me lined up there.
Surprise!
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Enemy Combatant, broadcasting live out of the Republic of New Jersey, right across the Hudson River from Brooklyn, where my host is at. We are launching preemptive strikes on bullshit, and of course, if you've been paying any attention at all, you would know that we're drowning in bullshit. And I have a stack of news stories here, which I won't be able to cover in detail, but I hope to blitz through them in the next, in the first half-hour segment of the show, and then we will get into the Vatican conspiracy. Of course, a lot of people, want to point the finger at one particular group and say that they're running everything, like the Jews or the Jesuits or this and that and the other thing. But if you look at it, the Jesuits do actually have a lot of influence. In fact, I went to a Jesuit college, St. Peter's College, over here in Jersey City, and I noticed, the extravagance of their institutions is just, they're working with a lot of money, folks, to say the least. So you got to wonder.
And they're not called the soldiers of the Pope for nothing.
I mean, you got to wonder where they're getting this money from. I mean, it's a massive, like I was saying last time, religion, even though it might have good intentions, is usually hijacked by a group of people for financial exploitation, spiritual exploitation, but, most specifically, financially, people come in there who have nothing to do with the religion. I mean, look at Scientology. It's a massive Ponzi scheme. It's a massive money laundering scheme. So the point is, these things get hijacked, even if the original intention of the Jesuits wasn't a New World Order. They're now in a position, geopolitically, to influence this one world government idea.
So, all right. So, what's on the news? What's on the news today?
Well, just massive developments. I got this little news and brief, which I'm gonna post a link in the chat room to the New York Post, the full article. But this is the brief from Associated Press. GOP chairman likens Obama to American Idol star. So this is really amazing. I mean, just like the Metro article that came out on Monday, blurring Bush's face into Obama's face, basically showing that there is no change, that they're exactly the same, comes this little gem I was talking about how Susan Boyle, people are going to make the connection that, you know, she came up out of nowhere. Well, maybe Obama is the same thing. He's like an American Idol star, you know, who, you know, this unlikely candidate who all of a sudden rose to the forefront as this major political player. So Republican Party Chairman Michael Steele, who is black, by the way, yesterday said that the GOP can't be afraid of criticizing President Barack Obama because he's a celebrity, and if they want to regain their relevance, that they have to seriously criticize Obama. He continued, he's young, he's cool, he's hip, Steele said, but this is not American Idol, end quote. This is serious, and we're going to take them head on. So here is the link to the New York Daily News in the chat room where you can read the rest of this article from the Associated Press, May 19th.
Well, why don't you tell tell people where they could find it if they're listening to the podcast?
Sure. I haven't posted this on the blog, but if you're listening, you could Google GOP Chairman Michael Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, American Idol, and the article should pop right up where he's talking about Obama being a celebrity president, worshipped just like American Idol. So, you know, why is this article important? Because we made this prediction about a week ago that people are going to start realizing that Obama is a Madison Avenue fraud. He's a cultural creation of the New World Order. He's a brand that's been manufactured. So, yeah, I mean, Michael Steele, you know, the black Republican. I mean, we, there's tons of black people who are against Obama, and yet we still have some people on the fringes, like Janine Garofalo, saying, hey, you're all racist if you criticize Obama. But really, there's legitimate criticism coming out of both camps, the Democratic and Republican, with people such as Dennis Kucinich even saying the same thing. Like, you know, look, let's get serious about these issues, domestic issues, instead of focusing on foreign policy and how we're going to bomb these, these Middle Eastern people. You know, just like the black guy on C-SPAN, he said, you know, I voted for Obama, but I'm never voting again because Obama is using his popularity to really screw over his supporters. And he's got an agenda that has nothing to do with what you or I want. So that's one article. Then we have this article out of today's newspaper. I just found this, so this is breaking news. U.S. recovery will be a rutted road, from Reuters. And it basically says, data on Thursday underscored that economic recovery in the United States will be a long, slow slog, with a key manufacturing indicator showing that only marginally less weakness and an outlook for rising unemployment even when growth resumes. So this dovetails with the Standard & Poor report that we read you last Friday, where they basically admit the recession is going to continue for another 3, 4, 5 years. And this news report came a day after the Federal Reserve cut its outlook for economic growth over the next 3 years and said full recovery may take 5 or 6 years. So Standard & Poor is saying 3 years, at the most 4, but the Federal Reserve's own analysis shows that it could be double, you know, 6 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a recession, it's a depression. Please get that through your thick skull. I want to welcome Semper Egestatum to the chat.
Welcome.
If you're just joining us, this is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. We're doing a news blitz. I haven't even gotten through, you know, the important stuff here. But ladies and gentlemen, the point is we are right about everything. So please just investigate the blog. Check out crotchshotradio.com.
Exactly.
You were going to say something?
Oh yeah, no. Just keep going. What else is what else is on the news? I mean, what else should we be keep worrying about and perhaps preparing to actually fight and actually do something?
I just want to say that there is some good news.
There is good news. Okay. Yeah. All right, hold on. Let me get prepared for this good news.
All right.
All right.
This is a review in the Village Voice, which has actively covered 9/11 films, such as the film that Sandra Hicks starred in. I believe that was called Able Danger, the film noir, fictional film mixing 9/11 truth with, you know, a plot line. They're now covering the independent film channel flick New World Order, directed by Luke Meyer and Andrew Neal. And their film talks about conspiracy theorists, not the politicians or the people themselves, but the people investigating the New World Order, such as Alex Jones, Luke Rutkowski, and others are featured in this film. And I'll just read you an excerpt of the review so you can judge for yourself. But you can go see this in the Village. I think it's also at Lincoln Center. It's playing all over New York City.
We'll have details posted later tonight on the CrotchShotRadio.com blog website. And just in case you need more want more information, we'll have it posted up there. Times and locations.
All right, so here's a little excerpt, and then we'll get to the next more important news. But this is some good news, positive news coverage of conspiracy theories, quote-unquote. A facile but fascinating documentary about the world of 9/11 skeptics and world domination doomsayers, New World Order, the movie, stops shy of endorsing Alex Jones's arguments, the most incendiary of which is that 9/11 was a massive government-executed plot. Now, let me just stop right there. We're not saying that the government carried out 9/11, especially with the word massive. By definition, a coup d'etat, this inside job, had to be a minor government plot. It couldn't be massive. It had to include a small number of people, otherwise they couldn't get away with it. So that's kind of false right there, what they're stating. So it's not a massive government plot, it's a minor government takeover. It's a small group within the government that infiltrated us on 9/11, used the resources of the military, the airplanes, and the airport security and all that to carry out the attacks, but there were good people inside the government who tried to blow the whistle and stop 9/11 from happening. So let's just be clear about that. So again, the movie doesn't endorse Alex Jones's arguments, but it gives his theories more sympathetic view, or less criticism than they have had yet. So again, the article is being very fair, and it gives both sides of the story. You know, people can look at this film and say, yeah, these people are kind of crazy, but at the same time, they're human beings, and they have a lot of good points.
So good news.
Okay, then we have this little jewel.
Good news.
This is some health news. This is out of Metro, the free local newspaper, international newspaper. Study: cola overdose can lead to paralysis.
Aw, shit.
So let me read that again for the hard of hearing. Study: cola overdose can lead to paralysis. So without even reading the article, they're now admitting what we've known for years, that, you know, these giant Coca-Cola and Pepsi, all these giant soft drink companies, they're poisoning their customers. I mean, it costs nothing to mix water and a little bit of sugar and caffeine and sprinkle a little bit of caramel coloring into it. It costs nothing to make that, and yet they're making billions of dollars off of the poisoning of people everywhere. So without really reading the article, I'm just gonna give you a little overview of what the article says. Cola, the gold standard of soft drinks, can severely inhibit bodily functions when ingested in excessive doses.
Son of a bitch. And you have to say this while I'm drinking my Pepsi.
According to a report in the International Journal of Clinical Practice, an excess of the fizzy beverage can drop blood potassium to dangerous lows, which can lead to weakness and even paralysis. Mm. So again, this is a long term. I mean, having one Pepsi is not going to hurt you, but if you chronically consume soda, especially the ones that are diet soda because they have artificial sweeteners in it, you know, you're really setting yourself up for a fall in the long term. I mean, besides liver and kidney functions, I mean, this stuff literally attacks your brain. I mean, they now admit that high fructose corn syrup, Washington Times, a couple of months ago, that 50% of all household products, if you go to any store and just pick up canned goods off the shelf, that most of the products that have high fructose corn syrup in them have mercury. So by drinking soda, not only are you damaging your teeth, but you're ruining your bloodstream and your brain function. I mean, it's attacking you on all levels. Okay, continuing along here. This is just unbelievable. This is also the Metro. This is from April, several weeks ago. But they have a picture of a baby with a slash through it. You know, like a no, you know, anti sign, you know, the circle with the slash through it. But the article says, in downturn, babies cut from family plan, talking about how in this recession, people are having a hard time raising children because of money problems. But they're also advocating at the same time that you engage in eugenics and actually not have kids because it's, you know, damaging to the environment. And if you can't pay for them, then, you know, you're not only polluting, but you're being financially irresponsible. So just a small excerpt from this this eugenics article. In 2005, the last year for which data is available, the U.S. abortion rate fell to the lowest level since 1974. But at the National Abortion Federation, a hotline for women seeking abortion information has been ringing off the hook, according to the group's president. So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this dovetails perfectly with the billionaire's secret meeting that we have on the front page of crotshotradio.com, where billionaire Bill Gates and others had this secret meeting in New York, and they claim to have donated up to $70 billion to date to charity. But then you go look at who these people actually donate their money to, and it's all eugenics. It's all Planned Parenthood. It's all United Nations, World Health Organization. And again, it's not me saying this. Ted Turner on PBS, on his own network, CNN, has called for 90-plus percent population reduction of humanity. So this article, I mean, is just so shocking. They're openly saying that, you know, babies are bad. By the way, if you Google that, just Google babies bad for environment, an article will pop up that was featured in Alex Jones' Endgame, where it basically says the same thing, that babies are bad. If you have children, you're basically polluting the environment. Okay, continuing.
There really is such a fucking war against human life, against humanity.
Yeah, almost they just print it in the newspaper like it's no big deal.
Every little thing they do, every little thing that we do is now bad. Every normal thing that makes us human, whether we love, we fuck, we eat, we shit and piss, is demonized. And then we got shows like a world without people on the History Channel, no doubt, talking about how great the planet Earth would be without humans, how life will spring forth again, like we're killing the Earth.
And folks, if you think that's bad, I mean, History Channel is mainstream television, but if you think that's bad, just Google. If you don't believe what we're talking about and you think we're making this all up, just Google voluntary human extinction movement. There's actually an organization that is encouraging people suicide themselves or not have kids so that the Earth can be saved.
You know, and you know what? It's written in the Bible.
Just look it up.
It's one of God's commandments to take control of the Earth and subdue it. Use the earth. It's one of God's first commandments. Have children. Fill the earth. And where the fuck? Life After People. There you go. Life After People is the name of the show. You can actually go on to the Crotch Out Radio Show. And also there's a video from the Matrix that I actually threw in there. human beings are a disease. I mean, this is what we're being conditioned, that we're the problem, that we're the disease. Really? You mean it ain't enough for me to just probably sweep up, maybe recycle a little bit?
Yeah, what about all the good things that human beings do, like agriculture, like breeding animals, like cleaning the oceans, like, you know, there's a lot of good things that we can do as managers of the earth instead of polluting it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, there's certain practices that maybe we could change and perhaps use a better way. But a lot of times it is because of these corrupt corporations. Corrupt corporations. Like, I was actually listening to this show the other night, Truth Brigade, and they actually got into free energy and the using of hemp to create oil. To use that.
You know
to
how
power
many chemicals
car.
It takes simply to create 1 pound of cotton that makes all of your shirts and all your pants and all your jeans and everything else? You know how much cheaper it would be if we just grew hemp and made clothing out of hemp?
I mean, you know, you could use hemp to create gasoline, clothing, building materials, and it would be fantastic for the earth. And possibly even cheaper, but the only reason why we're not using those technologies that are so easy to use and we could start today is because of these corrupt organizations and their lobbyists and making it illegal for us to grow pot and thus becoming more independent. Because
but don't you understand, Louis? Don't you understand that children are bad for the environment? Don't you understand that plants are bad for the environment, Louis? Don't
you
understand that sunshine is bad for you?
And you know what I say to that? Fuck you. That's what I say to that.
Don't you know that clean drinking water and clean air is bad for you?
I mean, and this is crap that pisses me off with environmentalists, that they're not getting it. They're just not
getting it. They're not environmentalists. They're cultists.
Exactly. I mean, this is why I wrote this little thing after I posted this article. I was actually so angry, I had to be like, please, those who read this, please fight by living. Become more independent. Teach your children to love. Be responsible. Honorable. Please educate.
By the way, I don't have the clip up yet, but Lou Dobbs just did a report. I'm going to have to post this, where he said that independents are the leading political party right now.
Yeah, no shit. Please,
yeah, exactly.
Educate.
That was my response to the clip, was no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, please educate yourself. Turn off the TV. You know, I got rid of my TV, and I feel, you know what? My brain started clearing up.
New York City, welcome to the call.
Hey, okay, hold on. We got New York City. New York City, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. How can I help you? Some dude calling from New York.
Want to fire out that number?
Okay, hold on. We're going to fire out that number. If you want to call into the Crotch Shot Radio Show, here's the number.
Call the Crotch Shot Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
Feel free. Yeah, so like I was saying, yeah, I got rid of my TV. My brain started, my thinking has gotten a lot quicker. It feels like a fog has left my brain. And I actually, it just kind of reminds me, last night I saw this movie called They Live. It's starring Roddy Piper, you know, the wrestler, Roddy Rod Piper. It's about this guy, he finds these glasses, and it allows him to see, you know, the subliminal messages behind everything. And he was able to see past the disguise of these aliens. And one part of this movie, he's talking about get rid of your one of the heads of this human resistance movement saying get rid of your televisions, because even when it's off, it throws out signals that mess with your head. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, when the TV's off, it messes with your head, but I'm saying when the TV's on, it puts you in a state, a hypnotic state. It's like you're sleeping.
No, but it does, though. Once after you stop watching it and the TV's off, you go to bed and you dream about all the stuff that you watched on TV, and because it's a visual overload. I mean, you literally start imitating the television, and you start behaving like the shows that you watch. Instead of living your own life, you start imitating all these characters on TV, and that's exactly what the TV's programming you to do. I mean, when I started doing this truther stuff, I mean, forget about 9/11. I'm talking about just general questioning of existence. I mean, not even political. I noticed that a lot of my friends weren't into that. They were into sports. They were into Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, the Green Bay Packers, Michael Phelps, this and that and the other thing, and all this entertainment culture, because the TV programs you to want to be like that. You know, just like people, just like those boys in that clip, the AmeriCorps, saying, because of Obama, I want to be the next plumber, you know. You're given role models. You're being conditioned, controlled by people that you've never even met.
Exactly.
And I mean, my friends are just some of my that I no longer hang out with. My ex friends, I should say, are all zombies. You know,
they watch
these soap operas. They watch Channel 11.
What superpowers do they have? What superpowers
just the superpowers of ignorance and, pretending to be important, and because they watch The Hills and 90210 and Degrassi, they start thinking that their life is Degrassi.
The fuck is Degrassi?
Exactly. It's just some gay TV show that they have on WB11.
What, is that a soap opera?
It's just about these teenagers, rich teenagers with problems. You know, they're so rich and so beautiful that they don't know what to do with themselves. In any case, we're getting a little off topic. I haven't even covered half the articles I have in front of me. It's not that much, maybe like 20 articles, but I'm going to blitz through them in the next few minutes so we can get to your phone calls as well as the just massive developments since last week. We've had like 60 new posts. It's just unbelievable, you know. So there's some pockets of good news here and there, but for the most part, it's just about how there is no change, and that segues perfectly into this next article. Obama flip-flops, lending Bush a little vindication. The Metro on Monday of this week did an article basically comparing Obama to Bush, which is what we've been screaming. For 6 months now.
There was actually a picture of metamorphosis between Obama's face becoming Bush's face and vice versa. It was pretty funny. It was
It was a shock.
Yeah.
And again, let me just say this to the listeners. This
of course,
shows
my,
you.
My reaction was, oh yeah, no shit.
No, but why this is important is because I was doing an action, Louis. On Saturday, a few days before this article came out, at the Central Avenue Heights Festival in Jersey City, it's a street fair in the mostly Latino community, and I was holding a sign, an anti-New World Order protest. I was doing it all by myself, a demonstration, I should say. I wasn't actually protesting anybody. I was just demonstrating my knowledge. So I was there with the sign and handing out flyers, with a picture of Bush morphing into Obama, because it's a common theme, a common image that's in the truth movement. People, of course, those of us who are actively participating and know what's going on, we knew this, that they're exactly the same. I mean, they're even related. That's why they look alike, because they're part of the same bloodline. But again, this shows you the harmonization, the synchronization of everything that's going on right now. People are really starting to get it. I'm not saying that I directly influenced the publication of this article. What I'm saying is my action holding up this image of Bush turning into Obama on Saturday resonated with this article that came out on Monday. So again, I didn't directly cause the article, but I am resonating on the same frequency as this article, which shows you that we're really having an effect on the metaphysical or spiritual plane of ideas. I mean, physically, you know, you could give people facts and evidence all day, and they're not gonna really listen to you, but visually, people will get it. People understand images a lot easier than they understand words. So, you know, this really shows that there is a unification going on right now. 2012 is right now. I mean, the singularity is right now. Knowledge builds on knowledge, and the more we know, the faster we can understand. Like you were saying, you know, you stopped drinking soda and you stopped watching TV. This cloudiness got removed from your vision. You could think straight again. And that's exactly what is happening right now. The veil is being pierced and we're able to see straight. And even Rachel Maddow in the latest clip that we have on the front page of crotchshotradio.com, you see her talking about how Obama is actually using the same exact rhetoric as Bush. He says he wants to create an extra legal institution that would sync up with the Constitution. Now, that's bullshit right there. I mean, you have to work within the framework of the Constitution, of the law. You can't just create a system outside of that and say, hey, we're going to make it parallel so that we don't break any rules. No, you're supposed to not break any rules by working within the Constitution, not exactly outside the Constitution. So the point is, they're totally operating under color of law. It's very possible that Obama is not even our president. I haven't, you know, I'm no expert on the whole birth certificate scandal, but again, there's new evidence coming out every day. Occidental College records, for one, being released that says Obama got foreign student aid. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, what's going on here? Is Obama even the president? Do we have an imposter in the White House? I mean, what's going on here? You know, that's not even the most important reason to be against Obama, because now that he is in office, he's passing all these horrible bills and doing all sorts of bailouts and this, that, and the other thing, which I'm sure you're all aware of. If you don't watch the news, you still hear about these things from your coworkers, I hope. But again, there it is on the front page, you know, and I'm going to read a little excerpt of what Obama supporters themselves have to say now that they've been betrayed. So just listen to some of the left-wing blogosphere comments.
We got another call from New York City. New York City, you're on the Crotch Shot Radio Show. How you doing?
Hello?
How you doing? Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. I'm your host, Louis B. Got any thoughts, questions? And he hangs up like a dish.
It might be his connection. But listen to some of these comments from Obama supporters. I removed my Obama bumper sticker today. He is a false hope. It's just gonna make Obama look weak, stupid, and totally in cahoots with the war criminals. And that's from DailyCoast.com, a well-known liberal website. Hope? Nope. Just rope-a-dope. And we are the dopes. Do you hear that? That is the sudden sonic boom of the sudden collapse of hopeful enthusiasm. And that's from democraticunderground.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just angry white conservative racists, you know, KKK members that are anti-Obama. It's black people like GOP chairman Michael Steele and even black Democrats also. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you really knew the kinds of people who are out there saying exactly what I'm saying, you would understand that this is not about race. I mean, James David Manning, a prominent African-American scholar, theologist based in Harlem, New York, I mean, he knows what's going on. He's so smart that he's self-deprecating. He doesn't take himself too seriously. People think that he's a comedian. Well, in a way, he is. I mean, in a way, Alex Jones is a comedian, because it's so absurd that how can you not laugh at some of the crap that's going on right now? I mean, it really would be funny if there wasn't so much human lives and suffering involved. I mean, Louis, what do you think about that? The Metro reporting openly that Obama equals Bush.
Again,
and even Rachel Maddow saying
for the third time, yeah, no shit. I mean, how can, and yet there'll still be people out there that say, Obama's my man, Obama my baby dad, Obama bubble, Obama, Obama.
Yeah, literally, their answer is Obama to everything.
Obama's the answer. Obama's the cure for AIDS. Obama's the cure for the economy. Obama's the cure for this. You know what? A lot of economic experts said, you know what? This economy would have cured itself. What Obama did with these bailouts made it worse. I mean, and of course, it's not fair to blame Obama on everything, but you know, he did promise all this crap that he was gonna do within the first 100 days, and it all turned out to be a lie. But anyways, we gotta move on. Time is ahead of us. We're gonna be right back after these messages. When we come back, we're gonna be talking about how the Vatican is in league for a new world order. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. This segment of the Crotch Shot Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union-made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchshotradioshow.com and click the top banner. That is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotch Shot Radio Show sent you. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. I'm your host, Louis B. I am joined with my co-host, Enemy Combatant, the New World Order. Like I was saying in the top of the show, Roman Catholic Church is the world's largest Christian church, has 1/6 of the population as members. They have their own city-states called Vatican City. And they always have their hand in almost every geopolitical event going on today.
Well, they got their hand up Ron Howard's ass and Tom Hanks' ass, that's for sure.
Oh, Angels and Demons comes out today. It's open today, huh?
I might go see that just for the propaganda value.
Hey, I should go accompany you and so that way we could compare notes. Make it a guy's night out, and then afterwards we'll go for some beer and bitches at the strip club if you're down.
We'll go to Obama Fried Chicken.
We're gonna go to Obama Fried Chicken, and then we're gonna go to Obama Topless Dancing Boom Boom Room.
And then after we pick up some hoes, we could take them to Michelle Obama's House of Wigs.
Exactly. Get them some weaves, because, you know, them bitches that we be getting are bald.
I mean, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to have some fun here. I mean, I'm glad we're taking a break from the news, actually, because I'm at the halfway point. I hope we can get to cover some of the news later in Overdrive, because, seriously, you know, we got to cover all angles of this. Again, Watchmen movie, we did a review of that on the Crotch Shot Radio blog. And now Angels and Demons, the sequel to The Da Vinci Code by Dan
Actually,
Brown.
It's a prequel. Prequel.
Oh, I'm sorry, prequel.
Prequel.
Has come out in theaters talking about the Illuminati. And
again,
you know,
they're trying to spin it
because really the Illuminati doesn't have anything to do with the Vatican. It's a Bavarian secret society, a sect, a group within Freemasonry, which was established a long time ago and separately from the Vatican, I might add. But again, these people cross over, these groups cross over. I mean, their goals are pretty much the same. It's just how they want to go about those goals of creating a world domination, you know, empire, mm-hmm. or whatever, hegemony, whatever you want to call it. They go about it in different ways. So Why don't you just introduce the listeners, Louie, to some of the basic concepts we're going to be discussing?
Well, basically, what we're going to be discussing on how the Vatican has its hands in Bilderberg, Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission. Through my own research, I actually found out...
Yeah, tell us what you found.
The single most important personality connected with the birth and creation of the Bilderberg Group is Joseph H. Rettinger, also known as the Eminence, his great Eminence.
Now, is he a Jesuit?
He got me.
Because I know who that is. Yeah, he's one of the founding members of Bilderberg.
Right. Rettinger had a colorful lifelong career that raised him to the top of the world order elites. At his funeral in 1960, Sir Edward Bennington Baronins said, "I remember Rettinger in the United States picking up the telephone and immediately making an appointment with the president, and in Europe, he had a complete entree in every political circle as a kind of right acquired through trust, devotion, and loyalty he inspired." Rettinger as a Catholic...
Especially Rettinger.
Rettinger. Okay, Rettinger as a Catholic was viewed by many as the agent of the Vatican, acting in liaison between the Pope and the Father General of the Jesuit Order.
Hmm.
One of Rettinger's renowned achievements in European politics was founding of the European movement, leading to the establishment of the Council of Europe on May 5th, 1949.
But the mainstream media will have you believe that the European Union was formed in the early 90s.
Exactly.
So there you have it. Just go on Wikipedia and it'll tell you, under Joseph Rettinger's profile, that he founded the Bilderberg Club back in the 50s as a way to implement a world government, starting with the formation of the European Union.
Right. With its headquarters in Strasbourg, the Council Executive Committee provided Rettinger his first major platform for his expansive ideology. From his earlier days at the Rettinger believed in greater European unity, both in military and economic terms. It was also at the same time when his interest in the guidance of the Jesuit order manifested itself. And remember, earlier I stated the Jesuits, their other name is foot soldiers of the Pope. He spent a great deal of his time fulfilling these ambitions. He suggested to Premier Georges Clemenceau a plan to unite Eastern Europe involving the merging of Austria, Hungary, and Poland as a tripartite monarchy under the guidance of the Jesuit order.
Sounds kind of like Hitler. I mean, yep. Hitler wanted to unify Europe by conquering Poland and Austria, and there you go. Same goal.
Sorbonne.
Same goal, different methodology. Continue.
Yes. Under the guidance of the Jesuit order, Clemenceau, doubtful of the Vatican-inspired plan, rejected Rettinger's proposal outright. This plan labeled Rettinger thereafter as a Vatican agent. Rettinger's activities were not limited to United Europe. Through his several trips to Mexico,
everybody put your trays up in their upright locked positions. We're going to go in for a very crash landing, and hopefully this will be a slap of reality upside your head.
Now that we got that going. Through his several trips to Mexico, he played a key role in the creation of a trade union movement in the 1920s. Due to his unprecedented success by gaining the Mexican government's trust, Rettinger convinced them to nationalize the U.S. oil interest in Mexico. In the process, Rettinger conducted the secret negotiations with Washington for the Mexican government.
Can anyone say North American Union?
Wow. Now, before you... continue on here with this guy's profile. I mean, he's a key figure.
Yes.
No doubt. I just...
Actually, that's what I got.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah.
So now I can chime in. This is from My Collector's Edition magazine, U.S. News and World Report, Mysteries of History, Secret Societies issue. And in this magazine, which costs $8, I got this a year ago before I went to Athens. It's funny, I went to Greece a year before the riots broke out and their economy collapsed, but, you know, just another coincidence. In this collector's edition, they cover the Masons, the Mormons, Scientology, Opus Dei, which we will get into right now. Dei, really, but people pronounce it Dei. The Mafia, Skull and Bones, and much more. But I'm going to read you some excerpts from their article on the Vatican, the Opus Dei Secret Society. Opus Dei is Latin for the work of God. So, you know, like a magnum opus is an artist's chief work. It's their big work. So just a small section of this can also help you clear up some misconceptions that people may have about the Vatican, and you might learn something in the process. Mm-hmm. So it's Opus Dei, Discreet or Really Secretive? That's the title. Untangling the Web of Charges Against the Super Devout Catholic Group. So again, they try to spin it and say that, you know, there's all these false accusations. And I mean, that is pretty much true for most of secret societies. People are misinformed and they don't know what they're actually about. I mean, the example being all these 9/11 truthers thinking that Freemasons run everything when Freemasons are just a front group. But anyway, you know, the point of this magazine, they try to spin it and say that secret societies are good, that secret societies are helpful and all the good stuff. But in Dan Brown's mega-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, Opus Dei is portrayed as a secret Catholic cabal. Though that depiction is clearly not reality, there is a perception that Opus Dei is not open about its work. Here, in this article, John Ellen Jr., a veteran Vatican watcher and the author of Opus Dei, An Objective Look Behind the Myths and Realities of the Most Controversial Force in the Catholic Church, helps shed some light on the subject. If you want a guiding metaphor for Opus Dei, the spiritual organization which was founded by José María Escriba in Spain in 1928, you could think of it as the Guinness Extra Stout of the Catholic Church. It's a strong brew, definitely acquired taste, and clearly not for everybody. In 1928, José María Escriba, a young Spanish priest making a retreat at the Vicentian Monastery in Madrid, he experienced a vision. The core idea in the vision was that holiness, or being a saint, is not just the province of a few aspirants, but the universal destiny of every Christian. Spirituality and prayer, according to this way of seeing things, are not reserved primarily for church, a set of pious practices marked off from the rest of life. Instead, the real focus of spiritual life is one's ordinary work and relationships. Daily living. It is an explosive concept with the potential for unleashing creative Christian energy in many areas, ordinary laymen and women, indistinguishable from their colleagues and neighbors, going about their normal occupations, who nevertheless catch fire with the gospel and change the world. Admirers of Escriba, including Pope John Paul II, who beatified him in 1992, believe the Spanish saint anticipated the universal call to holiness that would be announced by the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s. In order to cultivate such a spirit, Opus Dei members undergo extensive doctrinal and spiritual formation, and generally don't cut corners in the pursuit of holiness. Many Catholics today take some aspects of the Church teaching with a grain of salt, but Opus Dei members are encouraged to accept the entirety of the Church based on faith alone. It's not quite all right to call this a traditional alternative to the more liberal Catholicism, since from a historical point of view, Opus Dei is not traditional at all. Its vision of laity and priests, men and women, sharing the same vocation and being part of the same body, are all free to pursue that vocation within their professional sphere as they see fit. And it was so innovative that Escriva, the founder, was accused of heresy in 1940s Spain. It also says here, without getting into every single part of this, more broadly, Escriva's insistence marks something of a Copernican shift for Catholicism, which has tended to see laity as a supporting cast in the spiritual drama, with priests and nuns as the lead actors. So it's actually trying to say that it's like a populist movement, that the people, the common people, and not the clergy, are the ones running the religion. Despite this, the spirituality and doctrinal convictions of most Opus Dei members do frequently seem, quote, traditional, in the sense that they have clung to old systems and practices in a time when many of those traditions were being abandoned. Opus Dei has become a shorthand reference for a secretive, closed society with an elitist favor, sort of like Skull and Bones, or the Freemasons. Here's where it gets good. Thanks to the runaway success of Dan Brown's novel, The Da Vinci Code, these perceptions have gone mainstream. There are a number of accusations leveled against Opus Dei, which have earned it a controversial reputation. For example, the accusation that José María Escriva supported Franco, the fascist leader of Italy. Spain, I'm sorry. And then Mussolini in Italy, also a fascist. But this society, you know, people speculate, conspiracy theorists speculate or theorize that he was backing, this guy, Opus Dei, secret Catholic group, was backing the government of Spain at the time, in the 40s. Also, it says, in contemporary fascination with Opus Dei, no aspect looms larger than corporal mortification, which means self-inflicted pain intended to unite Christians with the suffering of Christ. Without getting into that, that sounds a lot like physical abuse. We've heard about priests molesting little boys, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you can imagine what these hardcore mafiosos might be into. I'm going to leave that up to your imagination. And finally, secrecy. There is a history of what is known inside Opus Dei as discretion, meaning not advertising one's membership too brazenly. So, you know, you get a sense of what they're talking about. Secret societies are good. A lot of, you know, a lot of false rumors, blah, 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 this and this and that. But when it gets down to it, you know, a lot of this shit is true. I mean, they are secretive. They are treacherous. They do fund governments. I mean, we do have a merger of religion and state. It's not just theory. I mean, in practice, we have a theocracy in the United States, as well as other countries that use these types of totalitarian regimes. They're usually also in bed with some sort of religion. And so, to finish up here, finally, of all the complaints about Opus Dei, none is more recurrent than that it is a ferocious recruiting machine, using its centers of corporate power as fronts for attracting new members, especially among the young and impressionable. They say you should have a set of 15 friends, and that the first five should be close to joining, said Tammy DiNicola, an American ex-numerary who left Opus Dei. We would fill out statistics each night. You would discuss each person on your list with the director. I mean, that sounds pretty shady to me. I mean, you have to choose who your friends are. I mean, they're openly telling you that.
Oh, we got a caller. We got a caller who disagrees. Are you ready?
All right. Oh, here's the part about Mexico too to further enumerate.
All right, here we go. John Luke,
I have a. Okay, I have a lot of problems with what you previously said about the secret societies. A lot of them do exist, but they are not secret anymore. They're open, but they have secret agendas. Like the CFR is not a secret society. I repeat, it is not.
We also got Dr. Kimberly. She's on too. She actually saw angels and demons.
Again, I'm not endorsing or dismissing either of these views. I'm just reading you what is in this Newsweek. I mean, U.S. News and World Report Collector's Edition on secret societies. They cover both aspects, critical as well as favorable.
Well, I simply think that they have evolved, and the reason they need to be secret is because if you look at the way society was back then, especially in the 1700s and 1800s, a lot of the societies were very oppressive, and controversial ideas were not accepted. So a lot of these groups had to be more secretive. Now, society starting to change its views. So even though these views are not popular and they are not like world government, it's still not shunned upon as much as it was back then, where those groups needed to actually be a secret group. They're open group, but they have a hidden agenda. They have evolved. I guess you could say that a lot of these secret societies do still exist, but they're no longer secret. They have transformed. Like communism started as the Communist League, and before that it was a League of the Just, and the League of the Just was a secret society. But communism itself is not a secret society. Although
I agree. I'm glad to have you on the call. Let me just finish up with this excerpt from this article, and then we can continue in the same direction, in a new direction. We also have Dr. Kimberly on the call, if you want to bring her up for a minute.
We got Dr. Kimberly on. She actually saw angels and demons. And what do you think? What do you think of the movie?
Well, I think it should have been called the Bussolini Code. Bussolini Code, the artist. It was more about his work than it was about the components of. You know, it brought up the New World Order, or it brought up the Illuminati. It was definitely, you know, the whole. Setting, 80% of the setting was in the Vatican. You know, they took you down to the Vatican archives, and you know, whether that was the real Vatican archives or just the set.
By the way, there's also a collector's edition of U.S. News and World Report about the secrets of the Da Vinci Code, the movie. If you're interested, that's on back order. You can go to their website and order that collector's edition for $10.
It definitely brought the ideas to the mainstream so that people could kind of talk about it, but it also dismissed it as it's just a movie, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because people will say, well, the Da Vinci Code, that's not real. There's no reality in that because that's just a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my view, as I said about the Illuminati, is if they do still exist as an unbroken line back to the group that Adam Weishaupt started in 1776, they have dramatically transformed from.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
They are not the same group as they were. To say they are the same group would be like saying the United States of America now is the same as that country was in 1776. It clearly is not. It's gone through tremendous transformations. An empire into the Byzantine Empire, that was but it was not the same. Greece have transformed. I really think if they exist, they have a more openness to them. I mean, their agenda is still secret, but they are open. When I mean open in the fact that they exist on paper. They're not, you know, purely secret like the CFR, Bilderberg. They're not really secret societies. What they do in the group is secret. What I technically mean that they're not secret is that there is members that say that they do exist. Nobody currently is contesting that those groups exist anymore.
All right, let me just finish up with this article, and then we can continue on here. Dee Nicola and her mother, Diane, founded the Opus Dei Awareness Network, which is an anti-Opus Dei group that operates a website featuring testimonies of former members. Another ex-numerary, Charles Shaw, who whistled, which is slang for declaring interest in Opus Dei, as a Harvard undergraduate during a five-week trip to Mexico in 1991, described the recruiting methods thus, quote, "The work organizes these trips and work projects for college students as a means of getting members and helping prospective members move along in their decisions. The thing is, however, that you don't realize their purpose." End quote. Among some observers, there is a sense that whatever the difficulties over recruiting may have been in the past, things today seem calmer. We actually hear very little complaint about Opus Dei these days, says Ed Franchi, executive director of the Catholic Campus Ministry Association. And this is the end to this excerpt from a book by John Allen, entitled Opus Dei, An Objective Look Behind the Myths and Reality of the Most Controversial Force in the Catholic Church.
Damn.
So, anything else you want to add, Louis, or Dr. Kimberly, who has seen the movie?
Kimberly? Dr. Kimberly?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
All right, sorry, I had y'all on speakerphone and muted. I'm driving in the car.
Ah.
Yes, excuse me. No, I'm just going to... No, I don't think things have changed. Y'all say things have changed in America. I don't think things have changed. I think we're founded.
Well, can you just speak to the fact that they're releasing, Hollywood is releasing propaganda films spinning all these subjects wildly out of control? Can you speak to that?
Well, like I said, I think it's so people will just dismiss it and take any fact and say, well, it's just movie, it's just Hollywood, it's just theater.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
what about
real.
The upcoming film with Anne Heche about chemtrails called Toxic Skies? I mean, same exact thing, predictive programming. They're showing you what's going on in reality, but packaging it as a fiction to get you to think that, oh, you know, it's a movie, so it can't be for real.
Exactly.
Well, people who can see will, and people who can't. You know, to quote do you know who Dr. William Beagle is?
Yes, but what would you say to those people who can't see? How can we make those who can't see see?
They don't matter.
I mean, I don't think some people think that you can't wake some people up. I would disagree with that. I think everyone can be woken
up. You know, you can't. It's wrong to go and force your opinions on somebody else. Whether you're right or wrong, it doesn't
matter. It worked for Roddy Piper when he was beating up what was that character's name, and to make him look at the glasses and look into the sunglasses, and when he finally saw the truth, he became his closest ally.
Oh yeah, they live.
Yeah,
they live.
Yeah, that was
once
a fantastic
again,
fight scene. Yeah,
Louis, that was a movie.
I know, but it's real to me.
But that's very similar. I mean, you got to wonder why they're releasing all these movies that are similar. I mean, Dark City is very similar to They Live, as well as The Matrix, where we have this Christ-like figure, the One, basically restoring order to this system, which has, you know, replicated itself over and over again. And now we have this one person who is awoken and is enabled, endowed with power to break down the system and create a new system in its place. I mean, why do you think they're releasing all these movies? With
y'all don't want to hear my background. Okay.
Okay.
You're coming in loud and clear.
All right, well...
I mean, are we being prepared for something where they have all these protagonists, you know, fighting this New World Order?
I tell you the truth, I really... I mean, I just hope. I just hope that, that's the case, that we're being prepared, that we're going to have to fight. You know, that we're being prepared that, okay, wait a minute, there's something coming. I mean, but because, I mean, remember, a lot of these directors and movie makers, they're aware of the New World Order. Maybe this is their way of waking people up and maybe like, You know, and like, you know, this resistance is not futile. You know, there is a way to turn this around, you know, and win back our liberty, you know? So.
Well, radio shows like this are the first step. I mean, before we get back to covering news at the end of the hour.
Actually,
or later on.
I actually wanted to also touch upon a possible link between the Vatican and the Trilateral Commission. Pope John Paul II actually met with the Trilateral Commission back in 1982, and he spoke to the Trilateral Commission, and he spoke about human solidarity and politics and international solidarity, and politics in particular. Cannot forget the words of John the 23rd. The same moral law which governs relations between individual human beings serves also to regulate the relations of political communities with one another. International solidarity applies not only to the relations between nations, but also to all the instruments of relations between nations, including those at a level of government and multinational companies, in every sphere that are ethnical and moral extensions. These ethical and moral extensions touch in the many factors of technology and bear directly on the productivity and profit of enterprises. As I alluded in La Barum, I can't even read this. It's Latin. In a word, all activity must be at the service of life, the life of individuals and communities. Basically talking about a one world order.
E pluribus unum. I mean, you don't have to even know Latin to know what that means. It's on your quarter out of many, one.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I took it to mean. And look, this is, and people are like, oh, that, you know, you're getting that from a conspiracy theorist website. No, my friends, I actually went to the Vatican's own website and searched Trilateral Commission. And
by the way, Wikipedia now has an entry on the Bilderberg Group updated with information about Charlie Skelton, the London Guardian reporter who went to visit them in 2009 and found out, holy shit, this is all real.
Exactly. American Voter says, hope and pray you don't have to fight, but get ready if it comes to that. Hell yeah. I mean, hope for peace, but prepare for war. American Voter, why don't you call in and let us know what's going on? Oh, we got John Luke back on. John Luke, did you hear the 23rd said at the, well, Pope John the 3rd said at the at the Trilateral Commission? John Luke, you're on there.
Okay, so, I mean, this is the thing with conspiracy theories, is that a lot of people take different pieces of supposed proof, and they take things that don't have the same weight to them, and they make them have parity, even though they don't. Like, they would take an indirect connection and somehow say it's just as significant as a direct connection. Now, just because, okay, the Pope, he spoke at this meeting or that meeting, it doesn't mean that he is directly connected to them. And, I mean, the main goal of the left wing, which is what this is, now I hear so many people say there is no difference between left and right. It's primarily a collectivist idea, which is primarily a left wing idea. And the idea is to take away religion so then they can replace that void with themselves as government. That's exactly what Stalin did in Russia. He eliminated the church. Now, I've heard people say that Stalin is a Jesuit. Now, this is simply absurd because he hated the church and he did away with them. That's what's called circular logic. It's where, like, well, the elite are so powerful that no significant event happens without their control. Indeed, they do have a lot of power, and they have affected events.
Yeah, I've made that point several times on the show, John Luke, that while they have massive influence and that their influence will necessarily be seen in such large world-changing events, not all events are necessarily tied directly to them or even the same group. The point is there's a bunch of different individuals and groups all vying for power, and they don't all agree on everything.
Exactly. That's what I would call a type 2 conspiracy, is where you have several different groups and individuals who work together for a common goal. It's not the same as what's a type 1, is where all of these groups answer to effectively one person or one group. And
yeah, it's all one bloodline going thousands of years ago. I mean, that's kind of narrow-minded to just lump them all into one category. And then on top of that, link them to aliens, which is what we see Hulu and others doing. So clearly that's not the way to go. That's a red herring. That's a dead end.
Exactly. I mean, I should have known that term, but the term is circular logic. It's where you base one thing on the other thing, and the other thing on the first thing, and they're based on each other, and there's nothing outside of it. Like, the elite control everything because this event happened. Well, and then that event happened. Well, it had to be the elite because they control everything. Well, what makes you think they control everything? Well, they did that, and it's just a circle. You know what I mean? And I think it does a disservice to have that kind.
Well, that's the whole point, is that they strike fear into us, making us feel weak, making us feel small, and that's how we enslave ourselves, by thinking that we don't matter and we don't have any power. And so we disenfranchise ourselves without any elite necessarily shoving a gun in our face.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at the Gestapo in Germany, a lot of the power they had was from compliance of the people in Germany. A lot of times, if you return into the Gestapo, it's not because the authorities found you, it's because somebody tipped them off. That's how they had their authority. The fact that people thought they were all-powerful actually made them all-powerful in Germany. When in occupied countries like in France, they actually did not have that much power. And I mean, as powerful as the Gestapo was, they had almost no power in France because people refused to turn in their fellow countrymen. Some did. A lot of them did not. And they ended together against that. And they were a fish out of the water in France. They really were. And that's the thing with the elite. They really have to depend on complicity and consent to a certain extent from these...
Yeah, the enemy is lazy. I mean, they don't... Like you said, it's not so much secret or conspiratorial. It's more that you don't know about it, and that's what keeps them in power.
Exactly. Another way of looking at this is streamlined power. Like in the Soviet Union, I guess, would be the absolute best example. Stalin had streamlined power. He didn't need the consent. I mean, past a certain point of power, he didn't need consent to carry out what he wanted. All he did was give the order. And it was
My question to both of you gentlemen are, what kind of power do you think the Illuminati, I mean the Catholic Church has on this world when it comes to when it comes to shaping world events as far as the New World Order is concerned? First, enemy combatant, aka you go first.
Can you rephrase that or repeat the question?
What type of power does the Vatican have in concern with shaping a new world order, if any?
Okay, that's a very good question. Basically, I'll just repeat what I said earlier about on the last show, last Friday's show, about religion or any institution, but in this case specifically religion, being hijacked or being used as a tool or an instrument. You know, that is the primary way that they can control people, is by getting you to believe in a set of rules. You know, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. And that's exactly how we enslave ourselves, because they live outside the rules, but meanwhile they set up a whole bunch of dogma and practices and rituals that we should be undertaking, and meanwhile they're doing the exact opposite. You know, they're telling you to worship God, and they're you know, as a crude example, you know, busy licking, polishing Satan's knob there. So the point is, what type of power do they have? No real power, just the illusion that they foist on us, which we willingly go along with. Just like the government operates under color of law, they operate under color of religion. It's not actual religion. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. John Luke, you?
I happen to agree with the majority of what he said. If you look at the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages, they didn't have to have any power in secret. They openly had the power. They actually had the power to get nations' armies to declare war. They were the ones who said, we want the Crusades. All the other countries were effectively under their control openly. They were supposedly, quote-unquote, representatives of God. And all these other countries that were Christian had to listen to what they said. Have that power anymore. I really see what's happening now is the government wants to replace a religion with itself, and that has been done. And an example I gave was Stalin. Stalin made himself a godlike figure in Russia, and that's what these people want. They don't like the idea of people having to answer to any entity higher than themselves, which is the government, and they don't like the idea of God-given rights. Religion has been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it has been used for, you know, different purposes, but it's not used by a singular group, you know what I mean? And I really don't think they're going to use it as much as people think they do. I think it's more of an abolishment of religion that is what's happening. And I mean, like, another thing just to say is, like, is the CFR, do they have any real power? Literally, if you want to split hairs, technically they don't, but they do at the same time, because of the fact that they have so many people with influential posts. That's basically it.
So, okay. My next question is, what are your thoughts on the Vatican actually taking part in politics? I mean, I don't know if some of you may know, it is a direct violation of Bible teachings, and I'll actually read you the Bible verse after you answer, of course. So, John Luke, let's start with you.
I strongly believe there should be a separation between politics and religion. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to have a religion in politics, but it means that it should not play a role in the policy decisions you make.
So what I mean, okay. Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. What do you feel about there being chaplains in the military?
I have no problem with that, so long as they have a representative for all of the different types of people.
But I mean, do you think God should play a role in war?
People feel they need some comfort to get by the fear of war, absolutely, yes. I don't think it should just
Now we're opening up a whole can of worms.
Right.
But Can you repeat the question so I could answer in detail?
Oh, goodness. What was my original question?
And then quote your Bible verse, whatever you're referring to.
Right. My question, my original first question was, how do you feel the church's role in politics, whereas speaking to the Trilateral Commission, their links to Bilderberg, and also speaking to the United Nations. How do you feel about their role?
All right, yeah, it's actually a perfect segue into the last thing I was saying from the last question you asked me, is that government was born out of religion. The philosopher kings, the priests, the priest class, that's where the whole concept of divine right came from. But because people saw through that, they could no longer claim God chose us to do this and this and this, so they had to set up legal documents, they had to set up institutions in order to operate that way, because they couldn't just march in to a tribe or a little village somewhere and say, hey, you know, I run things because I got the magic powers. That doesn't work anymore. So what they had to do is, the priest class, the ruling class, they had to go underground and kind of transform their ideology and their energy and concentrate their wealth into government, into extra religious institutions. So, I mean, do they play a role in politics? Sure. I mean, they're entitled to that. Just like special interest groups that are non-religious are more than welcome to participate in politics. I mean, that's what, you know, the human experience is all about, the struggle for existence. The strongest survive. It's about, life is about politics. I mean, it's about exchanging points of view and competing and all that. I mean, so we'll never ever have, and we shouldn't ever even think of having a quote unquote utopia where, you know, everything is perfect. It'll never be that way, because life was born out of this motion, this ongoing oscillation, and so yeah, of course they're entitled to political influence, the Catholic Church and the Vatican and all the rest of that. It's to be expected. Like I said, the elite, whether they're a part of these religious castes or not, they're entitled to political participation, and we will necessarily see their influence in groups such as the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, etc.
Right. Okay. With that being said, I take this from in Joshua, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 14. Mm-hmm. It states, Joshua served the Lord and Israel for many years. The nation at last settled in Canaan, and he was now old. Knowing that his time was short, he called the nation together and delivered to them his final admonition. He urged them to love the Lord and stay separate from the nations round about, to not mingle with the heathen. He reminded them that disobedience would bring a curse upon them. Obedience will bring a blessing.
I mean, it's, as terms of a relevance for Christianity, that was the Old Testament, though. I mean, a lot of things that were applicable in the Old Testament are not applicable in the New Testament, though.
Which is true. We don't have to go to Mass. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. But there are still some Bible principles that are still good to follow. And especially if you're going to be, a religion, you should be following God's law, God's commandments, and instead of trying to compromise with politicians who are imperfect men, you should be leading by example. On look, we're gonna stay out of
Well, I mean, I agree. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're participating is necessarily good or bad. I mean, obviously, they're gonna have a lot of ulterior motives.
Right.
Besides, you know, religion and healing and all that good stuff.
sure, Will. We could still sacrifice animals for fun.
Why don't you fire out that number for new listeners to call in the show?
Alrighty, this is, yes, here you go.
Call the Crotch Shop Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
Leave the cute kittens alone, Will. Crazy bastard.
This is so great that we're having the listeners take us in so many different directions, and at the same time we are going in depth on this one topic. I was wondering if I could just take a quick news break, just because I was scanning this news page during our discussion, and pretty much every single article on here is really, really good. I mean,
does it pertain to the topic at hand?
Well, one of them does.
Why don't you hit up that article and we'll do the rest in overdrive.
Sure. Well, I mean, I was just talking about competition and you know, we're talking about politics and group decisions and the history of human nature. This is just kind of interesting from an anthropological point of view. I'm just going to insert this into the conversation, and you can discern the relevance yourself. The article is from Associated Press. It says, "We ate the Neanderthals?" This is out of New York City. Scientists may have finally stumbled upon a plausible explanation of the disappearance of the Neanderthals for some 30,000 years ago. "We ate them," claims a leading fossil expert. Fernando Rossi, a research team leader at Paris Centre National de la Recherche Scientifique, the International Institute for Scientific Research, says that the markings on a Neanderthal jawbone found in the south of France are indicative of human interactions. The marks are similar, he says, to ones made on deer and other animals killed by Stone Age cavemen. So I just think it's really fascinating that there is a history of human cannibalism. Does it account for all the Neanderthals disappearing? Probably not, but it's an interesting hypothesis that cutthroat competition amongst the different types of humans, forces, you know, changes within the species. But again, now it's more sophisticated, where you don't actually have to hack up anybody and eat them. You can actually just control their mind, and that's even worse. But what do you think about that? Like, you know, fighting within our own species, the need for competition to keep us going.
I mean, let me go first. I do feel that we do need competition. Without competition, there is no creation. Things are created because there's a conflict. We learned how to fly because it was taking so long to get to one place to another, and we wanted, you know, we wanted to compete with the birds. created the car because we wanted to get places faster. We got tired of walking for 2-3 days just to get to the corner store. We created electricity because we got tired of going to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because it got dark. We created toilet paper because we got tired of, you know, wiping our asses with leaves. You know, I mean, come on. We created condoms because, you know, we got tired of our women getting bitchy because they got pregnant, and we just, you know.
So let me ask you a question then. Ultimately, do you think religion inhibits or promotes scientific advancement?
Oh my goodness! Look at the Dark Ages. Somebody, if somebody said, "Well, the Earth revolves around the sun," heresy, off with his head. Where the church stance is on stem cell research, something that could probably save millions of lives, and even stem cells that don't come from aborted baby fetuses. They're against it. Why they are against the possibility of saving freaking will. Fucking will. You know, yeah, they do impede scientific progress. They call everything evil, which isn't evil, you know?
And also, John Luke, when you answer, in your answer, consider the obsession, the historical obsession of religions and other cultures, primitive cultures, with perfection. You know, like the Greeks would throw babies off of cliffs, you know, if they were ugly or disformed. I mean that's eugenics right there. It's an early attempt to create perfection in a new breed of man.
Spartans, not Greeks.
Yes.
Well, they were Greek, but yeah, they were in particular Spartan.
Mm-hmm. That still goes on today. That's my point. Is that I mean, literally as well as in a more complicated way with eugenics operations worldwide.
I just don't see everything going on as strictly motivated by religion. I mean, keep in mind, I'm not a Catholic, so I don't see myself as a Catholic apologist. I just think they're getting somewhat of more of a bad rap than they deserve to have. I mean, you know.
I mean, okay, well, I mean, let me clear this up. We're not attacking Catholics that the followers. We're actually attacking the actual organization that is that has been possibly infiltrated and just basically fucked up. I mean, it has been taken over. In fact, oh goodness, I forgot this Pope's name. He actually warned against Satan taking over the church. If anyone can help me with that, which Pope?
Church has been corrupt for centuries, at least. Centuries and centuries. So the idea that they're still corrupt now is not really a new thing. It's not something that just happened this year, this decade or century or even last century. They've always been that way. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been infiltrated by the Illuminati or anything like that.
Now, you were saying there's other motivations besides religion that are influential. I mean, can you speak to that? Because there's another article right next to this one that I just read that goes over another aspect of what, you know, drives humans.
I would say it's greed, you know, like profit and power, but I mean, it's also the desire for people to try to create a utopian society, because this does a great disservice, and most conspiracy theorists, Alex Jones is one of the biggest ones who tries to say that everybody who wants this world government, they're all super, super evil people. And that's simply not true. There are evil people who want it, but there are a lot of people who do sincerely believe it.
Just like when Luke Rutkowski confronted Vicente Fox, and he was very gentlemanly, you know, he was very... gave him a lot of human decency, as a public official should, to an inquiring news reporter. So yeah, of course, there aren't, you know, not all these people are total, you know, jerk-offs, complete assholes. I mean, there's a different aura, you know, depending on who you talk to. I mean, exactly. I mean, people are people when it comes down to it, and it's just like that YouTube video, if you've ever seen it. What we are, just go on YouTube and type in what we are, and the guy basically says, you know, we're a bunch of monkeys, and people like to philosophize over Nietzsche and other philosophers without ever considering the point that Nietzsche was just another monkey. Okay?
Well, the point I'm bringing up, I mean, it's like communism. I mean, there are the elites in communism who are just the opportunists, Stalin, Lenin, and those... But then you had your regular, like, peasant-level communists who wasn't an elite, and they had nothing to gain from it elite-wise. They actually believed in it because they thought, in their mind at least, that it would give them a utopian society. Now, I'm sure if you went to Berkeley on campus, I'm sure you could find regular people who are left-wingers and believe in world government. They actually think it'll prevent war. It's the world's last hope. There are people out there who believe that the United Nations is the world's last hope. There still are people out there like that. And I think it's just important, you know, to try to talk to those people and just to, you know, and like I said, Alex Jones was a perfect example. Just to try to paint them all as evil, you're actually making those people hostile to you when you can maybe even talk some sense into them. But if you just want to paint them as all evil and just start...
Yeah, ultimately, it's human instinct, it's human nature, it's human behavior on the individual scale that drives this collective culture, this consensus reality that we live. It's just like the Deke Jackson video that we played for you, where he says, I am the New World Order. You are the New World Order. Your individual actions contribute to the greater whole.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just as much to blame.
By consuming, yes.
Yeah, you're just as much to blame as the elite are for plotting nefarious deeds. So, you know, it's not that all humans are bad and that we should all die. It's that we're human. We have a job to do to take care and steward our reality on this earth. And in the process, we also have to govern ourselves, but not to the extreme that, you know, where we taser people for not even committing a crime. Or you know,
tasering,
pre-crime. Arresting people before they even commit a crime.
I mean, or putting people on either no flight list or list for people committing for not even committing a crime.
I mean, listen to this. This is on the same page as the Metro article I just read you about the Neanderthals. This is a news and brief at the top of the page. One liner. This is a one liner. Just listen to how evil this is. Hold that handrail. A Montreal woman was detained and fined following her refusal to hold on to a subway system handrail. She was arrested for not holding on to the bar while the train was in motion. A non-crime. I mean, we have really let ourselves go, ladies and gentlemen, when we're getting arrested for not even committing a crime.
I have given this example to people before about the elite and their ultimate goal towards a world government and absolute control. It is like trying to run in the water if the water is up to your waist. You can't do it. The reason you cannot do it is because as you approach a running speed, the resistance increases. Now, I happen to be optimistic. I think they're going to press their hand too far. I think there's going to be a...
Well, clearly, I mean, people are getting... We have a video in last month's blog of a guy getting tasered for wearing a hat in court. Another non-crime.
Hmm.
I mean, the point is, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. I'm bouncing back with the idea that, yes, we are in a totalitarian reality right now. But the overarching point is that you contribute to that reality by allowing, with your complacency and ignorance, these things to take place.
See, there is a limit to how much they can get done at a given time per circumstance that they have. That limit doesn't mean that it is... I'm not saying a limit of where it is a desirable thing. Not at all. I'm saying there is a limit, period, to how much they can do. You never wanted to reach that limit, but the fact is there is a limit. And if they try to press too far, you will be making a mistake. And I think one thing would be is if they try to take away the guns. I think that would be a huge backfire in their face.
Well, with this economic situation expanding worldwide, people are going to wake up to everything, not just politically, but, you know, this dovetails perfectly with this article also on the same page that says, what is success? And a new study says that money can make us unhappy. And that's what's going on right now, is that people are having to face the harsh reality of saving and cutting costs and not you know, spending wastefully, and they're having to really re-examine themselves as human beings, as people. You know, what do I really need to smoke cigarettes for anyway? What do I need to get extra sauce on my, you know, burger all the time? You know, these are just crude examples. But the article actually says money, good luck, and admiration make people less happy, not
consume
more.
Consume by.
Say researchers at the University of Rochester. Researchers conducted a study of 150 college graduates and found that materialistic goals contributed only to alumni's ill-being, bringing shame, anger, and even physical symptoms like headaches.
Consume, spend, get in debt, become a slave, consume. Here's your hat, monkey dance.
This economic crisis is the result of the suppression of what's supposed to happen. There's supposed to be a natural cycle. And the Fed has always kept the interest rate low at the wrong time in the wrong way and tried to suppress a lot of stuff for the longest amount of time, and eventually there was going to be consequences of that. And this is what you're seeing now.
And speaking of the free market economy, right next to this article that I just read you, again, this is all on the same page, all these great news articles, back-to-back, news in brief, new research indicates that internet piracy may actually be beneficial for record companies.
Yeah.
A study by industry group PRS for Music claims a correlation between top-of-the-charts pop songs and most pirated tracks. The study does not in any way indicate that pirate downloading aids otherwise unknown acts.
How does this tie in with the Vatican?
Well, it doesn't tie in with the Vatican, but it ties in with the fact that the economy, the sharing of free ideas, which is what we're doing here on Crotchot Radio Show. I mean, this is the macrocosm, microcosm interaction in real time.
Right. Let me make the correlation. Yes,
And welcome to all the new listeners who just joined the chat. I mean, this is
I'd like to welcome Kevin. We got the American Boater, guest 9. He's been sticking around. He's a CIA agent. We got Will Not Obey. We got Chrissy Truth Brigade. We got Mistress Alexis from from My Talk Dirty. We got John Doe, the John Doe Report. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. After the show, actually in 15 minutes... if you guys want, check out Truth Brigade on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. She has a fantastic, very informative show. The chat is at TruthBrigade.com.
Yeah, we definitely got to go into overdrive.
We're going to end up going to overdrive. So if you guys can't stick around, feel free and download. Please just download the podcast. And if you guys do plan leaving in 15 minutes tomorrow, we're actually having our unsigned artist listening party. That's going to be live. We're going to be playing some unsigned artists. Mistress Alexis, we got to talk. I got some good news for you. So when you get a chance, nigga, can you say hi at least? Jesus Christ. So thank everyone for listening. And back to your regularly scheduled crotch shot.
Pow! Right in the kisser.
Yes. Take that in the fucking nuts, biatch. So.
Well, I mean, I want to shift off now, but I mean, it all ties into control of humanity and control over the masses, most importantly. Right.
We're not saying religion is bad, and I keep saying this once, and I'll say this. I'll always say this. Religion is necessary for a civilized society.
Yeah, religion is what separates us from the animals. The fact that we have a regimen, a daily routine that we live by, is what keeps us civilized.
I mean, you know, we do need a sense of morality. We do need at least maybe some guidelines. Maybe not. you know, maybe, I mean, not so much like mind control, or, you know, like Christy is saying in the chat room, not so much mind control, but
well, yeah,
guidelines to...
What we're saying is that religion, real religion, is the occupation of the soul, which is forever experiencing existence on many different planes of reality. So the point is, you know, you're going through life experiencing all these ups and downs. That is the real religion. The experience of life itself is the real religion.
Right.
Not the the dogma penned in your Bible that you bought at a garage sale somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, the Bible.
When it comes
it's
just helpful advice that you follow,
right,
but you got to
right.
know how to apply it.
I mean, the Bible is useful. Unfortunately, many religions have turned it into a terrorist handbook. Many people have used the Bible to kill their families, and that's not, and it's wrong. That's wrong. There are sets of morality that people should follow. Be, you know, love yourself, love your neighbors, you know, don't steal, be honest in all things, let your yes mean yes, but your no mean no, you know.
Yeah, these are the unspoken rules that allow us to operate on a day-to-day basis. So if you think about it, if we didn't have these things, we would still be living in the jungle.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just saying, religion is necessary for a
good Samaritan
society.
Law.
Yeah.
You know, for, common sense.
You know.
That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's what religion should be anyway, right. But of course it's been subverted and perverted and dragged through the mud, so nobody knows what to believe anymore.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you really want to choose religion, I'm not going to tell you which one to choose. That is a personal search for yourself. But really look into their background and everything, and really be careful. As far as the Vatican is concerned, unfortunately, it has been corrupted perhaps even 1,000 years or more before. And it continues to be a destructive force when it comes to our freedom and liberty, whether it spiritually or physically or secularly.
I'm just disappointed that the Pope himself didn't play himself in the new movie Angels and Demons.
Right.
You know,
if
he were a celebrity, man, I would be all over him.
Yeah, I mean,
because I'm a brainwashed American.
Yeah, I mean, that's another hypocrisy. I mean, how do you appoint someone who was Hitler Youth? Admittedly, Hitler Youth.
No,
I mean,
hey, pretty soon the Pope is gonna get his own TV show, guys. Just it's coming.
Send him there. Actually, I'm gonna. Hitler's Youth was not a voluntary thing. They basically made you join that as a kid. I mean, just because they had to brainwash you. You shouldn't hold against them, you know what I mean? They threw a lot of people in Hitler's Youth.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. But what about the fact that the Pope is a celebrity icon, basically? A god on earth.
Well, I mean, that has to do with more of my criticism of the Catholic religion and whole, that, like, confession and everything. But I just see that as a nefarious thing, you know what I mean? I just don't agree with view on that. You know what I mean?
Again, I mean, let me.
Everybody's
actually,
entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, let me at least throw this out there real quick. In 2008, Pope Benedict addressed the staff of the United Nations, saying, "The work that you do makes it possible for the organization to continue exploring new ways of achieving the goals for which it was founded." And as some of you may know, on the principles that the United Nations was founded, come to your own conclusions. But we're gonna be moving on.
Why don't we take a commercial break?
Yeah, we're gonna take. Yeah, all right. Why not? Yeah, we're gonna take a commercial break, and we're gonna actually play one of Enemy Combatant's songs, Black Bush. So stay tuned to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. You know, swift kick to the nuts. And, and all that nice stuff. So here we go. Crotch Shot Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union-made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchshotradioshow.com and click the top banner. That is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotch Shot Radio Show sent you.
Barack Obama, he was harnessing the young, eager, energetic army.
The army of supporters.
We now continue our coverage of the terrible aftermath of Barack Obama's victory, which has left Obama supporters across the nation with nothing to talk about.
It literally was.
Some think there is potential to convert political support into social activism.
Presidents connected with an army to do his bidding and put pressure on Congress.
An army waiting for new orders. For Good Morning America, John Berman, ABC News, New York.
Haves and have-nots, graphs and caveats, John Ashcroft spawned laptops and black ops. The only way off the radar is to have your fingerprints scratched off. First Amendment is freedom of speech. Obama will pardon Bush for everything, won't see him impeached. Bilderberg marionettes carrying threats, they need him to preach. Speaking real sweet, like you were eating a peach. But really, it's your sovereignty that they're scheming to breach. Demolish writtens like politicians on solid missions. Obama's a comic villain with a voice like Robin Williams, but with bigger bailouts, he'll be robbing trillions. We the people will rise against evil guys. National socialism sold at an unbeatable price. The reigning champ, I won't go to a training camp, but the government then endures training cramps. A pirate defending ships against censorships, indentured to the rich, spending legal tender chips, androgynous agenda, making your gender flip. Keeping allies close, but bearing in mind enemies as bloodlines prepare the identity of Caroline Kennedy for center stage. Every time she menstruates, she representing a den of snakes. Deceiving cold stares is why I don't believe in soul bears, because Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert even sold theirs, granting the fantasies of banking families, thanking us candidly for ranting angrily, because the heat's eutectic fools and elite eugenic schools, endless feud, huge centrifuge is plentiful. Skull mechanic and a gulf of panic with multisyllabics result from the cult of Atlantis, lacing the verses, frame subversive, Mason Mathermas, both taste and purpose, the changes loose like Jason Burmis, dying rescue workers and firefighters, honest architects and engineers, inspire writers, as I go higher and lighter, I can put an end to an entire empire.
A president speaks to military service as an obligation, not just of some, but of many. I think it's important for the president to say this is an important obligation. If we are going into war, then all of us go, not just some. There's no doubt that if there are wars going on and some are being asked to sacrifice their lives, that I think you have to ask yourself, why them instead of you? And so I think there are special obligations during wartime.
That was Black Bush by Enemy Combatant, also known as part of the Psycho Samurais. Go to myspace.com/Psycho Samurais. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually an old version of the song. The newly updated version is up on myspace.com/Psycho Samurais.
Psycho Samurais. All right, well, we're gonna be coming right back.
Yeah, we're almost out of time here.
Hey, welcome back. Crotch Shot Radio Show. Infecting the internet. Kicking ass one subject at a time. I'm your host, Louis B.
I'm your co-host, Enemy Combatant.
Thank you,
Check
sweetie.
Check out PolygraphRadio.net, a new website for truthers. Musicians, submit your music to Polygraph Radio. It's a great resource find out about other anti-New World Order musicians, be they punk or hip-hop, you name it, it's all on there, polygraphradio.net.
All right, for the final segment, we're going to be going through the news again with your boy, Enemy Combatant. This week's top headlines, as reported by Enemy Combatant. And now, here's Enemy Combatant.
Finishing up here with the same page. This is the same article, May 19th, Tuesday, 2009. This is the same page. Privacy fears hinder Homeland Security. Some say that total surveillance awareness whole body imaging is too revealing. Of course, we already knew about this, but here they are, you know, calmly reporting on it like it's no big deal. That the fact that body scanners at the airport take a full three-dimensional image of your naked body, totally violating human rights. Meanwhile, they try to spin it and say that it's actually non-invasive. It's actually totally invasive, total violation of human rights and civil liberties. But they say that it helps you out, that, you know, that nobody actually has to feel you up. The article says, privacy proponents are planning a national campaign to protest the DHS use of a new airport technology that some worry reveals a bit too much, pun intended. The so-called whole-body imaging technology, critics say, conducts a digital strip search, producing naked pictures that are impossible to make secure. And they even say in the article, one of the ACLU lawyers, Chris Calabrese, says that screeners at airports could make a fortune off of naked images of celebrities. I mean, can you imagine? They're even stating openly that they want to use this as a money scam. Remember how the feds were caught selling people's confiscated cosmetics and shampoos and other stuff at the airport? They were caught selling that on eBay. They're telling you that they want to sell naked pictures of you. I mean, these people are perverted. This is what they get off on. I mean, Louis, I mean, before I continue on here, I mean, what do you have any... Do you want to speak to that?
I better get a fucking cut. I mean, because I know they've been taking a picture of my naked ass for years. I mean, look, these balls are premium balls. Bask upon my
cojones.
Nuts. Bask upon my beautiful shaved nuts. And I wax them too. I wax them so that way they're nice and shiny. They're shiny balls. And if they're going to be taking pictures of them and selling it, I want my goddamn cut. I ain't some cheap hoe. I'm one expensive bitch over here. I want my goddamn cut.
Yeah, so they show you these gigantic pictures of an employee
and plus
getting,
the chick got,
getting
and,
her
and
body
plus,
scanned.
And plus, let me get a copy of any 19-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed hotties. I love my Aryan biatches. Anyway, yeah. Fucking phone! Yeah, I actually just got a call from the campaign office to reelect my city council woman who I'm probably not going to vote for because she's a fucking socialist like Barack Obama.
Barry Hussein Obama.
Barry Sotero. Yes. John Luke says, I like the pure-blooded bitches.
Here,
yes.
Let me finish what this article is saying before I move on to the more important news. I don't want to stay on this for too long.
Right.
But again, they're totally invading your privacy, and they're calling it a good time. People need to know what's happening with no sugar coating and no spinning, says Lily Coney, associate director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, which is leading the charge against the total surveillance awareness, which is a subsection of the Department of Defense. The technology, the closest we've ever come to the X-ray vision in sci-fi movies and kids' shows, uses millimeter waves to scan a person's body and then creates a digital image, which security officials can monitor for the presence of weapons or, protesters fear, something else.
Cops stand at my balls.
Screeners at LAX could make a fortune off of naked celebrities, says Chris Calabrese, a lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union. But security officials say fears are overblown. Among the precautions that airports must take, they say, are blurry images, automatic deletion, and strict efforts to ensure that TSA officers have no way to replicate what they see. So they're saying they're calling for huge oversight, but I doubt that's going to be implemented. The Transportation and Security Administration, I'm sorry, I said total surveillance awareness, but they probably also work with them. The Transportation and Security Administration says, there's many different, you know, language, alphabet gangs out there. The Transportation and Security Administration says the machines are needed to keep passengers safe. It's proven technology, and we are highly confident in its detection capability. But they don't say what, how trustworthy they are with not selling the images as porn. I mean, would you trust these people, Louis?
Oh, hell fucking no. I don't freaking trust them with my life.
Speaking with trusting people with your life, I'm now looking at a Gardasil advertisement.
One less...
Human papillomavirus quadrivalent, which is types 6, type 11, type 16, and type 18 HPV. It guards against the four major types of human papillomavirus, supposedly. Literally, at the top of the advertisement, I wish I could scan this and put a picture of it on. Maybe I'll look for the digital version of it and post it on Crowdshot blog. But it literally says... In flowery language, at the top of the ad, there's pictures of flowers, and inside those flowers is, you know, a cursive script in colorful letters among the flowers. And then below is the print where they tell you the actual facts about the medicine. But literally, you're looking at flowery language. I mean, these people are laughing in your face, ladies and gentlemen. Flowery language. And this is what it says. I chose to get vaccinated because my dreams don't include cervical cancer. I mean, I'll do everything I can to help my dreams come true, whatever they may be. So when my doctor said Gardasil helps protect me from cervical cancer and other HPV diseases, I figured, how could I not? And then you read, and then you scroll down, and you actually read what it says, and it admits that it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help you. So why would you get something that doesn't help you? I mean, not to mention all the reports that we posted earlier on the blog that confirm the violent reactions that some of these people suffer. Immune system, bleeding, seizures, I mean, fainting, you know, you name it, diarrhea. I don't know about death. I don't know about death, but
swallow another one for me. Just suck one up. Suck up some more mucus, dude.
All right, Gardasil.
Yeah.
Is the only cervical cancer vaccine that helps protect against four types of HPV, two types that cause 70% of cervical cancer cases, and two more types that cause 90% of genital warts. Gardasil is for girls and young women ages 9 to 26. The duration of protection of Gardasil has not been established. I repeat, for the hard of hearing, one more time, they're telling you that it does nothing in a subtle kind of occultic way, along with the rest of this, garbage. The duration of protection of Gardasil has not been established. Okay? Safety information. Anyone who is allergic to the ingredients of Gardasil, including those severely allergic to yeast, should not receive the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Gardasil may not fully protect everyone and does not prevent all types of cervical cancer.
So it's important to continue routine cervical cancer screenings. Gardasil is not for women who are pregnant. Gardasil does not treat cervical cancer or genital warts. One more time. Gardasil does not treat cervical cancer or genital warts. They're admitting it right there. The side effects include pain, swelling, itching, bruising, and redness at the site of injection, along with headache, fever, nausea, dizziness,
nausea,
vomiting,
heartburn, indigestion,
and fainting,
stomach, diarrhea. And
so this sounds a lot
death.
Like the this sounds a lot like the swine flu. Does it not? Gardasil is given as 3 injections over 6 months.
Jesus Christ.
Only a doctor or healthcare professional can decide if Gardasil is right for you. Just like we were talking about earlier about the religious people and the politicians telling you what to do. Look, they're now saying that the doctor is in charge of your health, that you're not in charge of your own decisions. Did you hear that, Louis? One more time. Only a doctor or healthcare professional can decide if Gardasil is right for you. I mean, the level of arrogance. They're just... You are encouraged to report negative side effects of prescription drugs to the FDA. Visit fda.gov/medwatch.
We got a call from Mr. MoomooCow 37357. Mr. MoomooCow.
Oh, you like vaccines, eh, Mr. Vaca?
MoomooCow.
Vaca vaccine.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
All right. Are you in support of Gardasil?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I just came in here.
All right. Well, we're talking about the quadrivalent vaccine that defends against 4 types of human papillomavirus for young girls 9 to 26. Manufactured by Merck. What do you think about Gardasil being a mandatory injection for our young women?
Does that take the place of parents? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I just read the citation. I just read the quote from the article, the advertisement, where they say only a doctor can decide if it's right for you. They're literally telling you that your health is not in your hands. They control you, your health.
Yeah. Well, we're not saying vaccines cure anything. That's not. He's reading an article. We're tongue in cheek.
It worked for me though.
This is an advertisement.
For you.
This is an. Are you a woman?
No.
No. That's not, no.
Yeah. So, what are you talking about? No, it is arrogant because...
Well, he's not a woman yet. He's going for the surgery.
It's so arrogant. They're saying that, you know, we the doctors are the experts and you are the patient, but you're not even a patient anymore. You're just a guinea pig. You're a lab rat.
Got Mr. Moomoo Cow. Let's get offensive now. Do you like people messing with your supply of vagina, Mr. Moomoo Cow?
Tainting the supply.
Messing with my supply of vagina. No, I don't have that issue. It doesn't bother me.
Really? You're pretty stocked up on the punani.
Yeah, it's really not a problem.
Are you married or you just got a harem going?
No, I'm single.
So what, you don't are you allergic to punani?
No.
All right, then.
Well, if anybody wants to look up the ingredients of Gardasil for themselves, this is what it says on the back of the advertisement. The ingredients are proteins HPV type 6, 11, 16, and 18, amorphous aluminum hydroxyphosphate sulfate, yeast protein, sodium chloride, L-histidine, polysorbate 80, sodium borate, and water.
Oh, don't forget purple and sugar.
Yeah, high fructose corn syrup for
delicious.
For good measure.
Mm-hmm. What?
Well,
this
is
vaccine. I want drink.
This is a little shift of gears now, since we're going into overdrive. This is really interesting. This is Mexico. This is the New York Times. Men dressed as police free more than 50 Mexican inmates. Armed men dressed as Mexican federal officers entered a heavily armed prison in the northern state of Zacatecas early Saturday morning and freed more than 50 inmates, many of whom were believed to be drug traffickers allied with the powerful Gulf cartel.
Seriously, how does that happen?
The huge jailbreak,
wow,
which took place...
They're not even smart in Mexico.
The huge jailbreak, which took place 5 a.m., was an embarrassment to the government of Felipe Calderón, the president of Mexico, who has touted the arrests of thousands of drug trafficking members over the last 2 years as evidence that organized crime is on the run.
Ironically, I knew a Felipe Calderón in my neighborhood, and he was a drug dealer. Ironically.
So again, the complete lawlessness. I mean, just listen to this. The team of criminals who gained entry into the prison showed how vulnerable the Mexican government is.
Yeah, no shit.
The men arrived in a caravan of 15 vehicles with police markers, so they were disguised as police, as well as helicopters, according to the news reports. To gain entry, the gunmen claimed that they were carrying out an authorized transfer of prisoners.
Yeah.
So
okay.
they had the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel, son. They had the people on the inside. They had the helicopters. They had the police cars. Boom, jailbreak.
Something like that.
Listen. After subduing the guards, they left with 53 of the prison's 1,500 inmates in an operation that lasted minutes, officials said. After they got away, police officers and soldiers swarmed the state, closing many roads as they could as they searched for the fugitives.
There were no helicopters. They just said that so they wouldn't look incompetent, according to Will. They probably didn't even have uniforms. Some guy didn't want to admit he was fooled by some guy with a mustache and a No Fear t-shirt.
So listen to the rest of this article.
All right. Damn. Laugh, nigga. Damn.
It would not have been the first time. One of Mexico's top drug lords, Joaquin Guzman, known as El Chapo, escaped from a maximum security prison in 2001 in a getaway that investigations found was possible only with the aid of dozens of inside men, prison guards.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Guzman, who was named this year to the Forbes list of the world's billionaires, hid in a laundry cart. Mexican authorities are well aware of the vulnerability of their prisons. Mr. Calderon has dramatically increased the number of drug traffickers extradited to the United States in recent years to reduce the likelihood that they will run their operations from behind bars.
By extradited, they mean how many people actually made it past the border. Ah, fuck. Bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks.
Almost. Just a couple articles left here. This is now... This is about the swine flu, H1N1, where they admit that there's nothing to panic about, it's all hype, and that you don't need vaccine to cure it. I mean, anybody out there going to get a swine flu shot?
I am.
I want to be one less.
Nigga alive.
All right, so here is the article admitting from the Epoch Times that the swine flu scare is really just hype. This is out of Reuters. Most H1N1 patients do not need drugs. Most H1N1 flu patients do not require antiviral therapy to recover.
but it remains important to develop a pandemic vaccine because there is a risk of future resistance, a World Health Organization expert said on May 12th. Nikki Shindo, a medical officer with the WHO's Global Flu Program, said the UN agency would soon publish new guidance about how to treat patients with the virus that has caused mainly mild symptoms outside of Mexico. I repeat, the virus has caused mainly mild symptoms outside of Mexico. And I remind you that the CFR lady, I forget her name, but she was on Stephen Colbert, lying, saying that the swine flu outbreak started in the United States. You have not heard a single article say that the swine flu started in America. And yet she's on Stephen Colbert, lying through her teeth. Given most patients can recover with rest and proper hydration, Shindo said there did not appear to be a need to treat all people infected with the strain with Tamiflu, Relenza, and similar antiviral drugs. No need. I repeat, no need. No, it's not a side issue because we need to expose to people. I know you, the great listeners, understand this, but you need to tell your friends and family, you need to expose the fraud of vaccination, compulsory vaccination. That doesn't do anything to help you. It actually hurts you. I mean, that's why this is important, to explain to people, to use this as a tool to explain to people how they're screwing us over for a buck, for a pretty penny.
All right. Okay. Get to the last story because we gotta shut it down.
Yeah, we'll be done before.
I need to go to a nigga hanging. So hurry up.
We will be done before 8:30. Just give me a couple more minutes here. I have two articles left. Two small articles. This is featured on the Crotch Shot Radio Show, but I want to talk about it again. This is on the blog of this month. In the Netherlands, Dutch police have successfully busted a marijuana grow operation by the use of this remote-controlled canna chopper, a helicopter drone aircraft that not only has FLIR, forward-looking infrared technology that has heat sensors that can see through walls and detect the heat coming out of your room to see if you have plants growing there, but it also has a smell sensor that can actually smell the drugs. And they've already successfully busted somebody in the Netherlands. In the Epoch Times, which I have before me, they talk about how they successfully busted these pot growers. It says, this picture, taken on April 28th, shows an unmanned helicopter used by Dutch police to track down the illegal cultivation of cannabis. The canna chopper is fitted with cameras and a sniffer to take air samples out of ventilator shafts and chimneys. So the headline, if you want to look it up on our blog, is Mini Police Helicopter Makes First Bust in Netherlands by Peter Vaughn of the Epoch Times. So the Dutch police started using a special mini helicopter in the Netherlands, the canna chopper. It can fly in the air by itself for several hours, and it's equipped with smell and image sensors. I mean, this is really ridiculous sci-fi technology being used against innocent people who, you know, if it was some other drug, I could understand, but pot? I mean, come on.
Legalize it. Time to recognize it. So, all right, well, is that all?
One more. No, last right, article.
One more.
Last article. Going back to the heart of the symphony, 9/11. What started it all? What woke most people up, anyway?
Yeah, that was pretty huge.
The New World Order. Mm-hmm. That's a conspiracy theory. It's just a fading memory, Louis. What are you talking about? It's no big deal.
Goodness, it happened so long ago. Drop it.
It's no big deal.
even though every single day of this week I saw an article about 9/11 in the newspaper. Anyway, final info, Katyusha rocket into the enemy camp.
Yep.
Before we call it a day, a night, rather, because I want to go eat dinner.
I need to go get laid. I don't know about you. There's this $40 crack whore looking at me, and I want to partake.
All yeah, right. Man, enjoy it while you can. The dollar isn't gonna buy you $40 hookers much longer, Louis.
Oh snap! Will cut his rate to $30. All right, woo! Recession special.
Recession, forget about it.
Actually, I actually want to make a quick announcement. Will, I will not obey. He's actually going to be co-hosting with me on my Sunday shows, and it's going to be a fantastic. So yeah, I'd like to welcome Will. He's going to be part of the Crash Out Radio Show family and the crew of traveling retards.
All right, final point here before we sign off and end transmission. We are winning the info war, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's been 8 years since the destruction of the World Trade Center complex, and there is still a giant hole in the ground. Okay, and that's because people are so upset over what happened, they don't want anything to do with the occupancy of the new buildings. And due to budgetary problems, Mr. Larry Silverstein ran out of money. The money that he got in insurance claims of $7 billion, double the $3 billion that he initially asked for from the terrorist attacks of 9/11. So he ran out of his $7 billion insurance collection and is now calling for a government bailout. Because according to some estimates, the new World Trade Center will now not be completed until the year 2036, decades from now.
Yes.
Just go online. Guess
nine. See that document. Yeah, go online.
The headline: WTC make take decades to finish. So, I mean, I hope they never rebuild. Honestly, fuck Larry Silverstein. Fuck all them globalists.
Yeah. And some CIA agent, Guest 9, turned out to be. How the hell does he not have the document? CIA agent's supposed to have every document ready. We should be asking him for the fucking documents. Let me see the documents. You sure? So, yeah.
So, just a brief quote from this article, and then it's a wrap.
Yes.
Rebuilding at the World Trade Center won't be complete for 3 decades, according to an analysis by the Port Authority. The report was used as ammunition by developer Larry Silverstein, who wants the government to help finance 3 of the site's 5 buildings. Mayor Michael Bloomberg belittled the projected date of 2036, calling it a number with no basis in fact. Well, it's already been 8 years. I mean,
goodness, they could have built like 10 apartment buildings.
They built 2 baseball stadiums, but they couldn't rebuild the Twin Towers?
Nah, of course not. Oh, and they built 2 baseball stadiums in a span of what, 4 months?
And also, I might add, not a single dime to the 9/11 first responders.
Of course not.
My hope is that things will get done a lot quicker, said Silverstein. Mr. Silverstein said, my hope is that things will get done a lot quicker, vowing that the memorial will be open by the 10th anniversary in a couple years. Mm. The long delays have become a consequence of the project's complexity, Bloomberg said, with 5 towers, a rail station, and a memorial, and a museum, involving multiple government agencies, insurance companies, and developers.
Yeah, well, I mean, seriously, what the fuck happened to all that money? $7 billion is still a lot of money. I mean,
there's an enormous number of interests fighting for the control of this hole in the ground, which nobody wants to invest in because they don't have any fucking money. I mean, there's all these retail stores like Linens and things right next to where I work in A&P that are shutting down. Home Depot, Walmart, KB Toys, you name it. Gerald Salente talks about it on his website, TrendsResearchInstitute.net. I mean, nobody is going to buy all of these empty stores. Who is going to... You know, America is out of money. I mean, wake up, folks. It's the collapse of 09. I am out of time. I am your co-host, Enemy Combatant. I mean, please just check out the blog. I didn't even get to the stuff that we have on the blog. So
yeah. Always check out our website. It's crotchshotradio.com. Tomorrow we're having an unsigned artist listening party where we're gonna be actually premiering this new group called Revival with their song Ominous Skies. Also, this YouTube sensation, he's a Russian. Don't hold that against him. His name is Aleksey Vanin. We're gonna be playing some of their new music. That's the Unsigned Listening music show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. Like to thank everyone for listening, and remember, you know, trust yourselves, not some dude in a dress who wants to be called a father, but he looks more like a mother. This has been Louis B. That's been Enemy Combatant, and as always, say it with me now. Say it with me. Fuck your mothers.
Fuck your mothers.
Fuck your mothers.